Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, I pray our hearts and our minds will be open and receptive to it and see what you have to say to us. Be with us now in this, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to apologize, John. I didn't look at the things showing 1 and 4. I guess I just took it we'd sing the whole song, but that's fine. Thank you. The scripture text for today is found in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 20. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. This is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and where he's explaining God's law, not man's law. Beginning with verse 20, "For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. And I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, 'Rekha,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny." These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We had a family not so long ago, if you would want to look at age, and the husband and wife hadn't been to church for some time. So they took their 2 children, which were now getting to be to the end of their preteen years, and they said at the bottom of the steps going into the church, they said, "We have to go over this one more time so you know what's going on, because we haven't been in church for so long. We want you to know that you children don't watch any movies on TV. That's not wholesome. You don't watch all these war movies and killings. You don't watch Cops and Hawaii 5-0 and some of these. And we want you to know, and we want you to understand, that if anybody asks you, you only watch wholesome movies. Now we also want you to understand and to know that if anybody asks you, your dad, when he comes home from work, he doesn't drink his 1 or 2 glasses of wine that he thinks he needs to relax himself, or he thinks they help him, because we don't do that. And then we want you to know, when you look at your mother, that she does not, under any circumstances, watch Desperate Housewives." So, yes, it's a story. And yet, how true it can be. We find Jesus coming to not only the disciples, but to the people at the Sermon on the Mount. And he's telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, unless your righteousness is beyond what they got, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is that? Because they looked at the law, and they took the law of Moses, and it says, "You shall not kill. Therefore, if you take and kill someone, you are guilty of the law." Yes, that is true. but you don't take the full law of God into account, and you don't take the full law of God, what he is telling you. You see, you're looking at it from the literal sense, and you're looking at it strictly by man's eyes. That if you take and kill someone, you are guilty if you do it purposely. If you don't do it purposely, then we go before the council and we find out if it was on purpose or not. But Jesus says, you are the ones, the leaders of the land of that day, and you say, the law we have written is the law you must obey. This is the what we have to do. After all, we are the Sanhedrin, or we're the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and we know what's best for you. The Sanhedrin then was made up of 70 priests, which would be the council, and the judgment would come from them if you had to go before them. So we see that in those verses there also. Then we see that Jesus says, if you are angry with your brother, not only your physical brother, but your brother in Christ or your brother in the Lord, if you are angry with them for any reason, that you are to realize you are killing them. And we find even in today's world that we many times in anger, we kill people because we would just as soon wish them dead as to wish them alive if they have done something that would hurt us, or maybe we have done something and they didn't like what we did and we felt our way was right. In Proverbs it tells us, man's way in his own sight is right, but God looks on the heart. And when God looks on the heart, he finds a sinful nature in our bodies, in our physical bodies, and in our spiritual bodies. Without the Holy Spirit convicting us, we would want to live in sin alone. Yet the Holy Spirit has come to us at Pentecost, and it convicts us of sin. It convicts us that we are to follow Christ, and what Christ did on the cross of Calvary for us is that he died for the sins of the whole world. Even though there are maybe some that do not repent or will not accept what Christ did on that cross of Calvary. So we see Jesus is trying to tell these people that the law of do not kill is not just physically murdering somebody, but spiritually. If you're killing them, or if you're wishing them harm, or if you're insulting them, or if you're giving them a hard time for no reason at all because they did something you don't like, then you are sinning because you are hindering them from maybe accepting Christ, or if they're walking with the Lord, that they may be a weaker brother or sister in Christ. And if they're a weaker brother or sister, you should be uplifting them and you should be helping them to grow in the faith of the Lord. We find this so many times in our own lives. We find sometimes in our own lives where things happen. We find that many times we'll take and say, what I have said is law, and therefore you don't go against it. I remember growing up, and we had the idea was if our father told us to shut the door and it was sunny out, if he says, shut the door, it's raining, you shut the door and you didn't argue with him because he said so. Therefore, we many times had ill feelings even towards our father. Yet later in life, we found that maybe because of his stature, he was a short man, 5'6", I think, and he weighed about 150 pounds. I don't know if he ever got any heavier than that. But sometimes we find that these people want to be controllers, and this is the way they show their authority. So we find many times that we do the same thing, and we find that we have that plank in our eye like we talked about a couple weeks ago, and we want to take the speck of sawdust out of our brother's eye, yet we haven't removed the sin in our own eyes, so we cannot see clearly to help our brother along. We haven't come to Christ and says, Lord, help me get rid of this ill feeling. If I have ill feelings towards someone, it is, God says, my duty to go to them and talk to them about these feelings and why they're that way. We are to take and work with them, asking for forgiveness if they have done something to us, and if we have done something to them, we are to forgive them or have them ask, tell us it's okay that of what happened, forget it. It reminds me not so long ago of something that happened in my own life. We find so many times a big item will happen and go wrong, and we'll say, that's the way life is. Yet something small will happen, and we blow our cool, if you want to call it that, and we just let her go, and we really let whoever is in our way have it. I was in a store one time, and something happened, and I kind of took it out on the clerk. Wasn't the clerk's fault. Wasn't my fault, maybe, either, but that's the way things happen. As I got home and I started thinking about it, and I says, I'm supposed to be a Christian man. Why did I let my temper go? I went back. The clerk was still working, and I talked to the clerk and asked him to forgive me, and I explained to him it wasn't his fault. I had no right to let my temper go. And he says, that's all right, forget about it. He says, nobody ever comes back and apologizes. And I says, I want you to know I'm sorry and that I shouldn't have done it. And he said, that's fine. He says, have a good day. And he went his way. You see, God will convict you. And God will tell you, if you bring your gift to the altar, and you have aught against your brother, or your brother has aught against you, have you gone to them and discussed the problem? Or have you just continued on letting it fester? I've had many instances where things like this can fester for a long time, and until you get on your knees or you go to the person and seek God's will and God's guidance in your own life on these things, you do not have the peace that God passes through all understanding, but you have to do it by forgiving one another. You don't love their sin, but you love the sinner himself, and you pray for that sinner that if they don't have Christ, they would accept Jesus as their personal Lord and give their lives completely to him. And that means Christ would be number one in all of their lives. In Proverbs, it tells us, it says, every way of man is right in his own sight, but God looks on the heart. And then it tells us even a little further that man's ways in his own sight is right and proper, but out of the heart springs the issues of life of man. Out of your heart comes the issues of life, of how you live, how you think, how you breathe, what you believe. And your life will show those around you. If you claim to be a Christian and you do not show it, and you do not have Christ living in you in such a way that people will glorify God, then you have something wrong in your life. Is there something in your life holding you back? Is there something in your life that you have against someone, or you know someone has something against you? If they do, and if you do it against them, have you went to visit them and talk to them about it? It's hard sometimes to admit you are wrong. It's one of the hardest things probably to do, and it's even harder to apologize for something, and they may or may not remember it. We find many times that when you go to someone and you'll ask them, will you forgive me for this? They'll say, I don't remember what you're talking about. Go, just go. Yet God has laid it on your heart to go and talk to them about it. And just by talking to them and them knowing that the Holy Spirit is convicting you and driving you to your own knees before the cross of Christ to realize that it is the Holy Spirit wants to live in you and to receive that gift that you might be bringing before the altar. We find then that killing is more than murder. It's anger, it's insulting, it's degrading, a lot of other things like this that we can do to people that to hurt them because we're mad at them or they're mad at us and we don't want the best for them. We look at Jeffrey Dahmer for an example, and he's maybe one of the extreme examples. He killed something like 14 people and was doing cannibalism with them. He was put in jail, and they said he was chained to another prisoner wherever he went. Yet one time he was killed, and about a week before he was killed, a Catholic priest had went in and said, I talked with Jeffrey, and he said he gave his heart to the Lord. If that is true, and if he is sincere in his belief, God would forgive him. God will forgive the vilest sinner of his sins if they sincerely come to him, seeking in truth repentance and forgiveness of and asking Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And if we think someone else's sins is much greater than ours, we have to get rid of our own pride, our own self-esteem, and say, Lord, help me to realize I am a forgiven sinner, forgiven by your grace. And because I'm forgiven by your grace, I can take and come to you at the cross of Calvary. And as God tells us, even though your sins are red, they shall be like wool, and they're crimson. They should be as wool and white as snow, because God forgives us our sin through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary for us. Jesus says, I have come to not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he says, when I have come to fulfill that law, not one title or one jot will disappear from that law until all is completed and all is finished. And we find then that we must live for Jesus Christ. We must be willing to forgive our brothers and sisters who are weaker in the Lord. We must realize that as David told us in Samuel, he says, when he was talking to Jonathan and Saul was after him, because Saul wanted to kill David because he knew he had been anointed the next king, and Saul wanted his son Jonathan to get the throne, he was out to kill David. And David says, there's but one step between me and death. And that one step is what is taking each of us each day. We are one step between us and death, one breath. God is there to help us. And if we call upon him and we rely on him, he will give us the peace which passes all understanding. He will help us to realize that we must be right not only with ourselves, between us and God, but we must be right between our brothers and sisters and God also, and that we will want the best for them, that we will not think evil of people. We may not agree with their sin, but we love the sinner, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will move in a mighty way in their hearts and their lives, and that they would give their heart and life to Jesus Christ and become his disciple also. That we would keep our hearts in tune with Christ and all that he has done for us. We find that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and they wanted to condemn him. Yet he tells them, he says, you will take and circumcise a child on the eighth day, even if it's the Sabbath, to keep the law of God holy. And therefore, because I did good on the Sabbath, he says, you are still condemning me. Do you realize that the Sabbath is not something that man does in and of his own? God rested on the seventh day after he had created the heavens and the earth. And on that day, he made the Sabbath for man that he could rest and recuperate. Does that mean we never do good? We still do good on the Sabbath day if that comes to us. We don't do it in man's way, but we keep God's law and God's grace and mercy before us on that day and realize it is a day for us to recuperate because we've worked 6 days already. And so we find that so very plainly. God tells us then too that we are to not sin against our brother. We're not to call him Rekha, which in Hebrew would be empty-headed or calling him an idiot or stupid. If we do that, and we've probably all called someone that by name, if we do that, we are in danger of the hellfire itself, not only of judgment, but hellfire itself, because we are telling God, you made all of us in your own image, and we're all made in the image of God. And in that image, what we're telling those people is that even though God made you in his image, he gave you an empty head, or he made you stupid or is an idiot. We have no right to do that or to judge these people. We are to leave the judgment to God. We're to leave the judgment to God because he is the one that judges righteously and fully in all aspects of life. We do not realize the full implication of calling people names. And we do not realize all the time that by calling people names, we can hurt them, and it's the same as murder or killing them or stopping them from working for the Lord because they may have made a slight miscalculation, if you want to call it that, putting it very mildly, or because they made a mistake or an error in some judgment of some kind. So many times we'll see this so going on in those times. We find too that in Hebrews it tells us that we are not only going to have a day in reckoning for ourselves, but in that day when we are called before the throne of God, are we going to be able to answer for what we have done? Or is it that we have Christ in our heart and our life like we should have, that he is first place, and God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he'll look at us as he's looking at us through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we will see that we are exhorting one another and uplifting one another to live for Jesus day by day in grace and in holiness. That it is the grace of God, it is the grace of God that has been given to us on the cross of Calvary that we have salvation. It is the grace of God that he sent his son Jesus into the world to die for our sins. It is the grace of God and his mercy that he has not consumed us every morning, but every morning his mercy and his grace and compassion is new, and he gives us a new day in which to live for him. Let us turn our hearts and lives to him, making sure that we live for him day by day. And when things come upon us that we don't like, that we turn to God, asking him for his guiding hand, asking him to lead us and to keep us in all ways, that as he keeps us, we will be able to show his goodness in our life. And showing his goodness in our life, that people would see him in us and glorify him, because he is the one that died on Calvary's cross for each one of us. We have therefore no right to judge others, but to bring them before God in prayer and in supplication, praying especially for the brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we would ask God to uphold them and give them the discernment and understanding and wisdom that they need to continue living for him, as it tells us so many times in Proverbs. And Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He told Jeffrey Dahmer that, and he's telling each one of us that we can come to him and we can cast our cares upon him because he does care for us. And we are the ones that needs his loving care, that we can have that peace of his which passes all understanding, not only for today, but forever. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us. Help us, O God, to do your holy will. And help us, O God, to follow you and to live for you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 630.